This is Mark.
And this is Kenny.
And this is All I Want to Do is Talk About Madonna.
Special episode.
Revolver. Oops, I guess I shot my fingers on the trigger. I had a bullet with your name on it. Click, click, got my sex pistol. My love should be illegal. Real deal, baby, I'm no counterfeit. Click, click,
Okay, we're doing this a little out of order because technically Revolver was released after Celebration and the when this Greatest Hits album came out. But we're getting this one out of the way.
Well, Revolver also closes disc one of the Celebration album. And so it actually technically came first.
Yeah, but like, okay. Yeah, but it doesn't really matter. I think everybody can appreciate why we're putting Revolver here, not as the last episode of the season.
I mean, my sex is a killer.
Has anybody told you that?
Never. Never. No one has ever quoted me any lyric from this song ever in my whole life. Like, even during the era, I don't remember that this ever catching on as a lyrical tone poem by Madonna.
It didn't really.
Revolver. When I was really excited when I heard that Madonna was putting new tracks on the Greatest Hits album,
yes,
which we'll talk about. But I was like, ooh, it's like Justify My Love and Rescue Me Again. It's kind of a thing. And then it was this weird, funky, sleazy. It's a sleazy song.
What makes it sleazy?
It's the way it's mixed. I think it all of the beauty and wonder from Hard Candy, those unadorned vocals are buried in this mix of vocoders and tweaking.
Yes.
It feels very, everybody in the song feels like they're smoking cigars and like singing between chomps.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I know what you mean, because I do think it's very produced, for sure. Maybe overly produced in a different way than Hard Candy was overly produced.
Yeah.
But I don't mind it. In fact, I like it.
I was thinking about it, and like Justify My Love and Rescue Me, this does kind of point the way to the next era. Revolver does.
Okay.
It is an electro pop song. It's got that kind of aggressive kind of darkness that MDNA has, as well as I go back to the voice, and it's kind of like it's being produced and buried, and there is some kind of tweaking going on to make it in tune.
Hit by a smooth criminal, a bad girl, I got you crying to your mama saying I can't believe it. I seen you type, bring a knife into a gunfight, caught up in a love right, I think I'm in love. I
line them up, knock them down, if looks good, get it.
The other part of it that I find interesting is I feel like Madonna has finally found her R&B swagger.
Yes. Here. Yes. I think that's a
finally.
Great. I think, yes, it's like, oh, where was this during Hard Candy?
It's the graduation to the Hard Candy swagger that we've been waiting for.
Yeah. I mean, there's something very easy about this song in a way. Yeah. Like, she, and in fact, all the songs that she does for the celebration are sort of like she's coasting through them.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
But this song, I remember liking it when it came out, but not paying attention to it that much. But over time, like whenever the song comes on, I'm really happy to hear it.
Yeah.
I think it's unlike a lot of other things of hers. I think you're right. It sort of looks back to Hard Candy as like, oh, I'm staying in the R&B world, especially because Lil Wayne is on the track, who we'll talk about. But also that, yes, it does point forward to like where MDNA is going. And there's just something interesting about, I think sonically it's interesting. I think it's electropop, but it's also really R&B and funk.
Yeah.
And it really grooves for me.
It does. I mean, so this song was produced by DJ Frankie, who also produced Flo Rida and a bunch of other people. And it was written with Lil Wayne and these two songwriters, Carlos and Steven, who are called the Jackie Boys. And I loved this. I Wikipedia'd them, and Jackie Boys, Jackie's their mother.
Oh.
And so that's why they're called the Jackie Boys, which I thought was really sweet. But they are, they're these very interesting guys in this way that they're the first time they were contractual Universal Music Group songwriters.
Uh-huh.
They weren't other artists. All they did were write songs for people. And they were only on contract at Universal for like 6 or 7 years, and then they just disappear. So we don't know. And, you know, after this with Madonna, I mean, this was one of the first assignments they got was to work with Madonna. I mean, they worked with Justin. They wrote a song for Justin Bieber. They wrote a song for Keke Palmer's solo record. I mean, they did lots of songs with David Guetta as well.
Uh-huh.
So, it's the first time that Madonna, somebody at the record company was like, why don't you work with these new songwriters? And she did. And that's why they wrote this song.
Well, is it they were like, why don't you work with these new songwriters? Or because this is my thought about at least 3 of the 4 songs that she records for Celebration, this little mini EP.
Okay. All right. I like that idea.
Is sort of like, she's like, okay, this is the best of whatever you sent me. I'm just going to do it. Like that she wasn't really, you know, she was in the middle of the Sticky and Sweet tour when she made these songs. Like it was on that break.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like there was a lot of attention being paid. Like this is to me where Madonna in this song and the other two that come up, though we'll talk about them.
Yeah.
Feels more like she was like embodying Britney Spears, who comes into the studio, works for 3 hours, and then everything else happens around her.
I agree with that with this song, definitely. I mean, I think this song feels like there's so much going on around it.
Yeah.
The song itself is actually pretty simple.
Yeah. DJ Frankie talks about in an interview, I think it may be, I don't remember where I saw it, just like going into the studio and it was very short period of time that she was there and how excited he was to work with her and how hard she worked in that short period of time. But then he was really disappointed in how it was mixed. He felt like the mix wasn't right. I totally, you know, I think the mix is really good. I like this song and I think it's held up really well over time.
What do you like about it? I enjoy it as well. I mean, it's certainly not one of my top 25 or anything like that or even top 30, but
okay. Well, I love how it starts.
Yeah.
I love the dun 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 dun, dun. And then I love the first time we hear her where she's like, oops, I guess I shot you. My finger's on the trigger. I had a bullet with your name on it. Click. Click.
Yeah.
I think that's all really cute. I love her vocals on this.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think the chorus is really strong.
Yeah.
I love the line 'em up, you know, part. I love how her voice is tripled or quadrupled there. I love when Lil Wayne drops in. It feels really organic and fun. And
a true cameo rap, not him on it the whole time.
Right. Yeah. Bang, they shoot to name is Wayne. Yeah, like, you know, they were probably never in the studio together.
They've not met yet. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Well, there is a video of them meeting in passing at an event, and she's like, oh, hey. And he's like, hey.
They're waving across the room. Hey, we work together.
I like that she references Bad Girl on this song. And yeah, I find it pretty funky. I like enjoy it. I will sing along to it. And I think the song lyrically is interesting, this metaphor, you know, okay, I like it.
What's the metaphor, Kenny?
I think my love is a revolver.
My sex is a killer. Do you want to die? I'm going to shoot you down. Well, bang, bang.
I think there's another lens that we can look through the song where it's like, it's a metaphor about disease or AIDS. I mean, okay. Obviously, right. That's not what she's going for.
That's not what she's going for at all.
However,
it's a simple metaphor of guns and shooting and piercing a heart.
Which a lot of people have issues with.
It's not aged well. It has not, sadly, it has not aged well in the Madonna lexicon.
It's like in Medellin when she talks about a cartel of love.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Again, but ultimately, maybe it's insensitivity on my part. I don't really mind it.
Like, well, and there are a lot of antecedents to that. I mean, Bang Bang by Cher is certainly, there's lots of songs about guns and the power of the gun, holding a gun. And we'll talk about, you know, Madonna's kind of troublesome relationship with guns when we get to Gang Bang. But, you know, there is a power. And there's also, I've never shot a gun, so I don't really know but people who do like firing ranges and things like that, there is a heady endorphin rush of power and energy and surge when you fire a gun that they've told me. And I feel like that would be when I'm on a dance floor and, you know, some guy, I've connected with a guy, we're both hot and sweaty and like that totally makes sense to me that would be a metaphor for that.
I can see that. You didn't ask, but I have shot a gun.
You have?
Yeah.
What was that like? Wait a second. What was the context? Where were you? Why? And what kind of gun was it?
It was a rifle.
was this in a production of Snow White and you were the huntsman?
Yes, and thank you for asking. It's actually we're reviving it this summer at the Summerstock Theater in Vermont.
Oh, how exciting.
The Killington Playhouse.
The Killington Playhouse. And you're playing the huntsman again?
July 10th through 12th. And then July 15th through 18th at 2 p.m. and 5 p.m.
At 2 p.m. and 5 p.m.
Please
the
come
hours
out.
When Kenny's Please energy is at its peak Please, of the day.
Yes, you know,
2
I'm,
to 5 p.m.
Well, we just went to a 5 p.m. show and I was like, this is my dream. We're here at the 5 p.m. show. It was over at 6:20.
The sun was set. Sun had set, so it did feel like it was night.
Yes,
it
and we went out to dinner, and we even went out to a bar afterwards
with
some
so
friends,
fun.
And we were home by 9:30.
I was like, in bed by 10. It was everything I needed
perfection.
It was.
I call for all shows on weekends to start at 5.
Only on the weekends? Yeah,
because
we couldn't.
Yeah, during the week, I think 6:30.
6:30. So back to the rifle you were holding as the huntsman in Snow White.
Yeah, so no, this was probably...
How old were you?
It was like 15 years ago.
Okay, so you were an adult.
In my 30s. Yeah, Sheldon and I were together. Actually, Sheldon and I went... No, was Sheldon there? I don't know if Sheldon was there, actually, now that I say that. I went to my friend Greg's house. I was in Ithaca.
Okay.
I was working on a show, I think, and
at the Hangar?
At the Hangar Theater.
Okay.
And my friend Greg, who was a costume designer, and also was a professor at Ithaca College, lived in the country in Aurora, which was about 40 minutes outside of Ithaca.
Okay.
He and his partner John owned a big farm. They had chickens, they had, you know, gardens, they
That's
had
great.
Farmlands.
Tell us about the rifle, Kenny.
Well, he was like, do you want to shoot the rifle? And I was like,
And you
sure.
were like, "What? When am I going to have
let's
an opportunity?
Go out shooting. Yeah. So he gave me a rifle and we went out and like just, he showed me how to stand and hold the gun. And
were
then,
you
like,
nervous
shot.
At all?
Oh yeah, totally. Oh yeah, terrified. Yeah, yeah. Terrified because I'd seen all these things, stories about like, you know, the kickback. And
yeah,
the,
yeah.
You know.
The kickback's a real thing.
So, you know, luckily, especially then, you know, my core was really strong.
Yeah.
And I was a lot younger.
You were holding it in.
And so, yeah, we like shotgun. We like, I think, I don't
Did
remember.
You aim at targets?
I think or? We had targets.
Okay, okay.
I can't remember that to be
it
honest.
It wasn't just in general
No,
direction.
I think we were trying okay. to hit something. I don't recall if wow. I did or not.
I mean, when I was a kid, I had several adult members of my family who like went shooting and they would be like, do you want to go? And I'd be like, no. So that's why I was asking if it was like when you were a kid or not.
Yeah.
Because like, I think that's something culturally, I think young people are taught to shoot.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember, I know Sheldon wasn't there because I was definitely single that summer because, I remember coming back to the hangar that night and I was like sort of hooking up with this guy who was part of the company. And
you were like, smell my hands. I've got gunpowder
like,
under
I
my hands.
I went shooting. I went shooting. I like shot guns today. And he was like, that's disgusting.
Oh.
And like, he stopped like hooking up with me.
Oh.
He was from the South and he had a lot of other, you know, yeah. connotations with like growing up around guns. And so he was like very uncomfortable. And I was like, I don't really want, you know, I don't want to like get a gun and do it. Though yeah. no shade to people who do like to shoot.
No, and when I was like a teenager, because you know I was obviously obsessed with Agatha Christie and murder mysteries and stuff, and that was always a big clue in a mystery was the gunpowder would be under your skin on your fingertips yeah. when you fired a gun, and so they would always do these you know these tests,
yes.
and I'd be like, God, if I accidentally fire a gun, I'm going to have the incriminating evidence if there's a murder.
Yes.
Uh-oh. So I never wanted to fire a gun.
I just had this flash that you would be so amazing in a revival of Murder, She Wrote.
I think I would be too. Special guest star Lindsay Lohan as an heiress. That's a child. I babysat her as a child. She's
oh
like,
my God,
Mark, come help me. I've been accused of murder.
Oh, your name would be Mark on the show. It wouldn't be like Chester Fletcher or something.
Would I
like,
be Chester
the grandson
Fletcher?
Grandson of Jessica.
I would be yes. I would be Chester. Well, but did she have any children?
Well,
did
we don't
J.B.
know.
J.B. Fletcher have any children?
Well, it could be unearthed that she did.
That she had some children yeah. with her dead husband. Because remember, her husband died. And that's when she started doing murder
oh,
mysteries.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So there's a whole backstory that we don't know.
Okay. So I'm Chester Fletcher.
Yeah.
The grandson of J.B. Fletcher.
Yeah.
I'm the executor of her estate.
Right.
So
yes.
that's the connection yes. to the original show.
Yes.
And I kind of fly around the world taking care of J.B.'s
right.
murder mysteries.
And yeah, reluctantly, you've fallen into this.
Yes,
you know?
Yes. yes. But I found, I find over the course of it, that
yes.
I have a nose for sussing out murders.
I love it.
Oh, that's fabulous. And then at the finale, the one thing I always wanted, I thought the perfect way to end Murder, She Wrote, J.B. Fletcher is the murderer in the last episode. Because there's always that joke that, like, wherever she goes, people die. Like, nobody ever suspects J.B. So, like, I'm thinking the last episode that she would be the one and she would reveal it. She would get away with it because she wasn't going to catch herself. And then at the end, like, Tom Bosley would open a letter and it would be, like, from J.B. and be like, this is my last murder mystery. I did it.
Fletcher, how many mystery novels have you written?
My 23rd was published this week.
That's very impressive. It must be difficult to come up with new stories.
Well, sometimes. I mean, I'm always meeting people who are eager to share their mystery ideas with me.
Is that why Paige Corbin telephoned you the night he disappeared to share an idea for a mystery?
No.
Why did he call you?
He didn't. I don't know Paige Corbin.
My favorite lyric in Revolver is yeah. the mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the baddest of them all.
Oh, yeah.
It's such swagger. It's such ballsy.
Yes.
I feel like if there had been a video, she would have been in a car.
Oh, I wish there had been a video because this is Madonna as villain, too.
Yes.
You know, like,
oh.
Vixen villain. Yeah, I think that. I agree. I think those are great lyrics.
Do you think that they just didn't, they ran out of time and money and attention to do a video?
Yes. I don't think there was ever a plan to do a video. I don't think they ever intended to release this officially. I mean, maybe they intended to release it officially. But like you were saying with Justify My Love and Rescue Me, like this is the Rescue Me track that just the sort of like, let's
It's the put gift it to the fans without it being,
Yeah. But it's hard to reckon with it on a greatest hits album.
Well, the other thing to the mix of it and to what you like about it, it is not like Rescue Me and Justify My Love. It's not mixed to go with the rest of the songs
on that album.
It really like is a, when you get to it on the album, it's a real puncture.
Yes.
You know, and it comes right after Justify My Love and it sounds worlds away.
Totally.
Which I think is really cool.
Yeah. I agree.
There were a bunch of remixes for this song, including one by Paul Van Dyke.
Yes, I was going to say Paul Van Dyke.
Van Dyke, sorry, my pronunciation.
Like D-Y-K, but I don't know if that's right or not. That's my favorite one of the remixes. I think it's just a really cool remix, and especially when like he plays with some chord stuff like somewhere in the middle, and it's really great.
When the sound when it drops out, it's just the beats.
Let's see.
Tops with Jessica Fletcher and get crazy, Kenny.
I already have my top off. You can't tell. I also think the Tracy Young mix is great, and Welcome Back, Tracy Young.
The Shoot to Kill mix.
Yeah. I love that too. Yeah. I'm glad that she's there.
There was also that David Guetta versus Madonna remix series in that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't love that. I didn't love that.
Well, this went off the hinges. The remixes are, I mean, the remixes, there's this tension in them because they want to be dance anthems, but this song is just too funky, I think.
Yeah. It doesn't quite work. Well, it works best when they really take just parts of the song.
Yeah. And she did this live on the MDNA tour. It was the third song.
Yes.
And we'll talk about it when we get to it, but a lot of guns, a lot of pointing at the audience with the guns.
Yeah, super controversial when it happened, particularly around, there was a big shooting in Colorado at the time, and one that happened within a movie theater, right? Yeah. But we'll talk about that when
we get to
the
that.
MDNA
this
tour.
Is where I was like, oh, a video, like some kind of video would have been really interesting to add to this because it feels a little transitional in the in the performance. And then Lil Wayne. We should talk a little bit about Lil Wayne.
Fascinating character.
He I just have to say, in doing my research, first of all, he's churned out a ton of albums.
Yeah. He's a huge artist.
Yes.
Yeah.
When does he have time to have all these feuds? He has feuds with literally hundreds of people.
Yeah.
Like, how does he have time to do all of that and make these albums? I mean, some of these albums have like 20 tracks on them.
Yeah.
And he has like 87 feuds at the end of each cycle.
I'm 87 like, feuds.
How did these happen? How does this happen?
Goodness. I think it's just part of the culture he was cultivating around him, you know?
Yeah. Young Money, Cash Money.
And in and out of jail frequently for having illegal firearms.
Yes, yes.
So, like, guns are a big part of his persona and his story.
His story,
I don't know. To be honest with you, like, I don't know a lot about Lil Wayne. I'm not into, I didn't ever listen to his music, or I've never really listened to his music. And I didn't feel like his contribution to the song was enough that I needed to go, like, dive deep into him. It felt very superficial.
It wasn't a Michelle and Dege Ocello moment, for sure. It was not. And certainly not, like, because I also felt that same way about Swali when he did Crave. I dove into Swali after that, because I was like...
I'm interested in Swali.
The things about Lil Wayne that I was kind of like, he's another one where I feel like... he has so many different other things going on. He has merchandising. He has foundations. He has lots of real estate. He has all these other business ventures going. And yet there always seems to be nobody minding the store in his... Really? Nobody's vetting him. Nobody... He says things off the cuff in interviews and things that just... would be so avoidable, but they all create scandal. His comments about the Black Lives Matter movement were very controversial. Stepping on the American flag in a video was something he did around that same time of Black Lives Matter. His kind of endorsement, kind of sort of Donald Trump in 2020, in conjunction with a criminal justice he was trying to foundation he was trying to launch with in association with Donald Trump was ill-timed as well. It kind of read as an endorsement, but it wasn't really. So there's just not a lot. He's a, for lack of a better phrase, a shoot from the hip kind of artist. And I wish he had somebody in his camp kind of being like, do we really need to say that right now?
Oh, I have no doubt. I mean, you're telling me more than I really know at all. So this is all new for me, but I have no doubt there are several people around him being like, do you really need to say that? Do you really need to do that? And he probably just does whatever he wants, which is his prerogative, right?
It is his, he's an artist in America. We're all allowed to say what we want.
Yeah. So I'm sure he's, you know, yeah.
I mean, do you miss this song? Do you want it to come back? Do you think it belongs to the time that it's in?
It would have been a surprise if it had ended up on, like, the Celebration tour. I don't see where it fits into the rest of her catalog. Mm. I'm glad it's here. I think it's a cool song. I'm glad it's cool exploration. And, like, I know I said this to you earlier, like, in the week when we were just talking, I was like in what we sort of said at the beginning, it's like, oh, she, by the time she did this, sort of figured out what the R&B sound was that she would sound really good in, you know?
It's like a graduation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I like the song for that as, like, a sort of cap, or like a sort of like, okay, let's play with it, you know? And, but I feel like she came in and did the vocals. I know she gets a writing credit, but it doesn't feel like she spent a lot of time on it. You know, I like it, but I would say, like, I'm going to grade the tracks today. Okay. So I would say that this to me is like a B.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
it's of a moment for me. And I think when it came out, I was very intrigued by the darkness in it. Mm-hmm. And I was very curious as to how that would, and I would soon learn how that would carry over into the next project, because I was kind of looking at it that way. And it's not crafted in this perfect way, the way that, like, this used to be my playground, or I'll remember those one-off songs before the next thing.
Right.
So it really did feel like almost like an emotional draft of what was to come.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
Till next time.
Bye.